Happy Sunday morning, everybody, and welcome to the special live spoiler review episode of Behind the Altar, season three for Love is Blind. They dropped the three episodes here on Friday, and me and my co-host are going to break it all down. For those of you who don't know our show, this is the John and Wendy Show. I am the John portion, the outlaw John Rocha, joined as always by the Wendy portion, Wendy Lee Zaney. Wendy, how are you?
Hey, look, I spent most of my Fridays watching the brand new episodes of Love is Blind after the altar. And then I spent the rest of that time afterwards thinking about all the things that we learned. There's a lot. So I can't wait to get into it. I'm actually kind of surprised because there was a little bit of a, do they typically do this for Love is Blind? They do like,
yeah,
this special feels different than the other ones.
I think the way they shot this special was completely different than they had before. It felt at times like it was a little choreographed, and I get it. I'm not a newbie at reality TV. I know, having worked on a reality show years and years ago, some of the stuff is staged. But the gift of the last two seasons, and most of the season of Love is Blind for season three as well, is that it didn't feel necessarily choreographed. It felt like you were watching these natural interactions between them, between these couples. And this one, these last three episodes, felt a little staged. I mean, the black and white stuff, the slow motion stuff, it just seemed a little odd with how they were doing it. So it is different, but they have done after the altar stuff for the second season. I don't remember if they did it for the first season, but usually they had that reunion episode, I think, in the first season, and that was that. And then they checked in with him for 1 hour. Spreading this out over three episodes was a real surprise because it was like 30 minutes per episode. And then I think one of them was 40 minutes. So it just seemed like they could have made this all one mega hour and a half episode, but they split it up, I guess, to get the clicks, get the likes, or get the attention for this whole thing. But there's so much to dive into here, Wendy, for sure.
One of the things, my least favorite thing about watching this entire season, and it was not as noticeable in season one and season two, is those damn gold goblets.
Oh my God.
And champagne flutes and wine glasses. And if it was a marketing thing or a sponsor thing, I will never purchase that for my home. I got so sick, especially when SK and his brother were at the ring shop. And they just had them. And granted, there was something in them. So, like, I appreciate they actually put something in the glasses because I really hate an empty coffee cup. Right. Like, when you watch TV, you're like, that's empty. That cup is empty. So they at least had stuff in them. But it's just such, like, a weird product placement thing for me. But I don't even know what that product is. Am I going to go on, like, the internet and find it? Are they at Target? Are they at Willems? I don't know.
Put them at the end. And listen, Wendy, you're not alone. I mean, I think, you know, doing social media with Love is Blind, it's always fun to see people's reactions. Here, my main issue with Love is Blind is them gold cups. What's the deal with these gold cups?
Where are they from?
Why are they everywhere? Yes, I'm invested in doing
one. Oh, they're from Target. Threshold.
Oh, they're from Target. Oh, there we go. A close-up. Threshold. Yeah, that's Threshold's what my towels are in my bathroom.
I love Threshold. Yeah. I will never buy those goblets or whatever you call them. I hate them because of this show.
Love this. Love is Blind is out of control with those gold cups at the Texas barbecue at the ring store. So I love that.
It's just so, so obvious.
Love is Blind will fight and die on a hill of gold cups. Oh my God. So this was a big deal for sure in Love is Blind. So
they're not even on the Target website, man.
Got to get those.
I'm already on Target. That's the marketing right there. You know, you go into a Target website, you're like, I want those gold glasses or whatever you want to call them, wine glasses, and they're probably sold out. Right. And then on top of that, you're looking through the entire list of what they have for Threshold. You're like, oh, but that's cute. That's the Target effect. And then you buy 50 million things that you don't need.
Wow. Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's why I always try to rush in and rush out at Target out of the pure fear of what I might pick up.
For God's sake. Yes.
But let's deal with these episodes here. Three of the episodes here at the end of season three, Soulmates and Blank Slates. Mm-hmm. The party is just getting started. And the last one, A Second Shot at Love, which finally brought Cole and Zineb back together. And these couples here, you know, as we look at the couples here with Bartice and Nancy, Alexa and Brennan, SK and Raven, which is the real big shocking.
We're going to get into that one.
Yeah, definitely. Matt and Colleen, and Cole and Zineb. So we're going to break these couples down and talk about it live with you all. If you want to send in any Streamlabs or Super Chats as we're going along, give us your thoughts about Love is Blind. Feel free to do so. If you're watching now, subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel and hit the bell button as well. If you're watching later, hit a like on this video and leave a comment down below as well as subscribing to the channel for sure. And if you want to give us any thanks, there's that thanks button that's there for you all as well. So first of all, let's just deal with the overall things. The way I love to start reviews, Wendy, overall, how did you feel these three episodes went aside from the Gold Cups? How did you feel these episodes went? What are you like walking away from this third season of Love is Blind feeling?
For as much as I enjoyed watching this season, and I enjoy a lot of the individual personalities that we were introduced to, I found these last three episodes just, and I don't know how, just like you said, how they spread it over three episodes, probably to get the click. So it was smart on the marketing part. But I found themselves and the cast talking in circles. There was not much to update other than SK and Raven. Right. Everybody else is kind of just status quo. That's how I felt. And I was like, how am I kind of bored watching, especially the very first one? It wasn't really until Alexa's party that I was like, here we go. We're back into it. Because it felt less produced. I mean, all of it is produced.
Right.
And I know it's not scripted. They call it unscripted for a reason, but it's still scripted in an unscripted way.
Of course.
Where they produce. That's why the producers are on the show. They produce things to happen. So it's just, I found it honestly a little lackluster, a little underwhelming.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I was hyped up for these three episodes, and I kind of felt a little bit as well. Cause look, I'm Wendy will tell you, and if the Lady Outlaw could pop on, she would tell you. This is the one reality show I am like uncomfortably obsessed with. You know, there is a hidden 14-year-old girl inside my body with a burn book, and she comes out when I watch these episodes. It really, Love is Blind, for whatever reason, has accessed that part of me that's inside of me and brings it out. Because I watch this show with so much like just intensity and passion and commentary and whatever. But also, having been through the wars of relationships, having been through therapy about relationships, that also comes to the front for me when I'm watching these episodes. And I'm always trying to factor in, well, they're in their 20s versus, you know, a guy who's a little bit older who understands now what it is to be in a relationship and what it takes to be successful in a relationship. So it's always interesting. And I agree with you, Wendy. There was, I think they were trying to manufacture stuff and drama out of what was going on between everybody. And you wonder how much the producers are in the ears of these people and telling them what to say, what to ask, what to talk about, what to go into. And especially with SK and his bro, you think his friend didn't know SK was cheating on Raven? Give me a break. Of course he knew. Of course he's known, but he went along with this whole thing. And you look about, and you look at the end of the day, it feels like this, this is the first season where I felt like these people are on for social media reasons, as opposed to actually trying to find love. Right. And you look at the social media footprints of these people now, like Alexa is at 891,000 followers.
Wow.
On Instagram. Yeah. Raven has hundreds of thousands of followers. Zineb has hundreds of thousands of followers. Almost everybody has, ranging from about 145,000 to 894,000 followers on Instagram. So it felt a little bit like this is what they were actually going for. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we didn't really get much more drama beyond what we got with SK. And it's ironic. It's the last button on the last episode that isn't produced at all. Just Raven sitting on the couch with her phone. That is the standout moment of these three episodes. So I found that to be really interesting when you look at it. So, we're going to spoil everything that happened in these episodes just right off the bat. So just letting you know ahead of time before we jump into it. So if you don't want it spoiled, then, you know, roll on out, watch them and come on back and hang out with us for sure. Let's deal with the first couple here, Wendy. Let's deal with Bartice and Nancy. We were waiting to see what was going to happen with them. There's Bartice and Nancy. We saw that they had gotten like and been hanging out, you know, because of course he had said no at the altar, which caused all kinds of drama with her family.
Yeah.
Her brother being like, what the fuck are we doing here? You know, though, it was a whole kinds of drama.
Yeah.
But then we find out that they have been seeing each other since that time. And she said they've been intimate, but she hasn't told her family that they're hanging out. We see her tell her family, I think in the second episode, they're hanging out. Her mom doesn't like it. Her brother doesn't like it. And they actually give her some really great advice, in my opinion, saying, you're not going to be able to move on to a new guy if you still have feelings for Bartice and you're entertaining this notion and you're not just being friends. You are hanging out because you still have feelings for him, still hoping he'll come around. And then we see them have that interaction at the party, I think in the third episode, where she puts the hammer down and says, I need friends to help me grow. You're not one of those friends that's going to help me grow right now. And he kind of is hurt by it and he walks off. So what did you think about this whole situation with Bartice and Nancy over these three episodes?
So I'm actually not surprised that they had continued to see each other after that terrible day. Just because from like a woman's standpoint, she felt, you can tell, she genuinely really was into the guy.
Yeah.
Genuinely. And I believe that for Bartice, when they were in the pods, he was really into her. But you can't ask a tiger to change its stripes. And he is still, and it's not really technically like ill-intentional. It's just a part of who he is, right? Her personality, her mind, her success, everything. He like, not saying he was going to date her for her success.
Yeah.
But he probably looked at it and said, damn, that's a woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I'm into her. That's why I picked her in the first place. And you're coming off of the high of this connection that they had. Just talking, not based on looks, but then the look set in. And I think this hit especially hard for Bartice after he saw Raven.
Yeah. Oh yes.
And he went, 100%. I mean, who wouldn't?
I mean,
okay.
Raven, yeah,
she is gorgeous, just like magazine cover. Perfect. That body. So I think that's where he started to make sort of excuses of like, this isn't like appearance wise, it's not somebody who is my ideal type.
Right.
And then he started to find reason to kind of lash out about that. Cause he was like, kind of like mad at like, oh, it's not perfect. Everything's perfect, but this, and it's like, I wish he could have grown past that.
Yeah.
But he didn't. But at the same time, I think she had so much of impact on him because of their connection. He couldn't let it go either.
Right.
So, but I think Bartice, one, he's younger, so I think he still has a lot of things to experience. And I think this was a big one for him, especially playing it out so publicly. You know, so I think it is really good that they got to explore what it would have been like. And for Nancy to, at the end, really empowering for her, like she said on the show, to say, I did it. We tried it. This is going to, I'm sure there's nights where she's, you know, in her room and she thinks, could I have given it another try? Like, let's go one more time.
Right.
But I like that she kind of threw the hammer down and said, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. She said, although we have a past, although we had some good times, like I want someone to be obsessed with me and love me for who I am and what I offer. And in the long run, the benefit of him being in my life is minute. So he should go. That's what she said. I don't want to have friendships that don't help me grow, that don't support me, that don't love me. So you look at that situation and you say, to me, the predominant feeling I have is that everybody on this show needs therapy and real deep, intense therapy. And it's true. And Bartice is young, but he was like bragging about dating older women. And yeah, it's fun to date older women when older women are established, have their own lives. And so you're a part of their life. You're not the focus of their life. And I think where Bartice,
so then they get all like insecure when women prioritize themselves, you know?
Right.
You know, exactly. And he's kind of like, well, this is why I don't think it ought to wait, or something like that. I don't know.
Right. And I think with Nancy, you know, I think for all Nancy's accomplished, I think Nancy has a lot of insecurity going on about herself. And I think she's got to figure out how to come to terms with that. As someone who navigated insecurity for many decades, to figure out how to come out of that kind of stuff and embrace who you are, like who you are, so you can be ready to be in a healthy relationship. Nancy's got to do that because Bartice essentially treated her like a puppy dog. Like he would show up whenever he felt like it. He would, you know, get intimate with her, as she described, whenever he felt like it. And she was always kind of waiting for him to kind of come around and give her any kind of affection, give her any kind of love. And when you're conditioned to be in a relationship like that, any crumbs that come off the table feel like full meals because you've convinced yourself that it's okay. Look at the way she was defending him to her family. And that's the defense of someone who's in a bad relationship, but doesn't know they're in a bad relationship and and she's just stuck in the cycle.
Yeah.
So I think both of them, certainly Bartiz could use a lot of therapy, but certainly Nancy, because I think Nancy has a lot of positive attributes, a lot of positive qualities that once that gets kind of fixed a little bit, and look, she comes from a divorced home. Her mom is a pretty hard-ass woman. Her dad is cool. Her brother's reactionary. So there's a lot of mixture of stuff from what she's come from.
She's kind of like the peacemaker, like the
peace
teaser. She's like, okay, okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay.
Right.
I get it.
The peacemakers don't remember that they have to like work on themselves too. They have to create space for themselves and love themselves for what they do. They're so busy trying to fix other people's drama that they don't realize they've also got to work within themselves so they can fix their drama and be happy, healthy people as well. And hopefully Nancy finds her way to that because she's, you know, she's an attractive woman, successful woman, making her money, doing her thing. You know, Bartiz is like working out in the gym and taking pictures of himself, two different things. And so I think hopefully she finds someone who is career driven and they find that balance that you need to have. But yeah, in the end, it was Bartiz. He could care. I bet he'll be over her within 6 hours, if that at all.
He would only want to hang on to her for the continued success.
Yes, exactly.
To be in the conversation. Because did you notice they put in at the end of the show, the new show that they're putting on that's also hosted by Nick Lachey and it's called Perfect Match. It's got all the people from the various Netflix shows. They introduced Bartiz.
Yeah,
they said, but he wasn't in any of the segments.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You noticed that. So I'm just kind of like, so did he just like up and left or was he just like, can't be successful without Nancy?
Was he eliminated easily? Yeah. It's a very good point.
Because people probably saw the show and you know, all the Netflix people talk. I don't care what show they're from. They all talk. They all, you know, half of them are in LA. The other half is in Texas. Like they all talk.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's move on to our next couple here, Wendy, because we got to get into this one. This is the supposedly successful couple, Alexa and Brennan, who are married. We see them talking throughout the episode about how happy they are together, how fulfilling their sex lives are. You know, Alexa won't stop talking about how fulfilling her sex life is. Look, she's sex positive. Nothing wrong with that. Certainly, but she talks about it. And we hear from Brennan that his family has kind of converted to Judaism in that they've been taking classes to kind of make more of a connection, more of an effort here to connect with Alexa's family. I wonder if Alexa's family is doing any kind of effort to meet them halfway. It doesn't strike me like they're the kind of family that would. And then we see their interactions at the, when they're hanging out, Alexa is the one leading the way to make fun of Cole when they're sitting at that restaurant,
the girls' lunch.
Uh-huh. Right, at the girls' lunch, doing all the things that they're doing. And then you see Brennan chiming in on everyone's relationship when he's hanging out with the guys. It's Brennan who's got commentary. And then later at the function there in the third episode, when Brennan is talking about how he doesn't like Cole and he has an unnatural hate for Cole, Bartiz is the one that kind of puts them together. And we hear Brennan actually with a straight face say, I don't usually like to comment on other people's relationships. He had just been commenting on everyone's relationships at that hangout and then tell Cole that he's got to fix things and blah, blah. And Cole responds by saying, look, I don't know what he's talking about. I never flirted with any girls around him. I never done anything. Just because he's mad because his wife's best friend is upset at me. And we know those people who take on their partner's anger in a situation without actually exploring it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it was fascinating. And then we find out at the end that they're going to have a baby and they sit down and he gives her this little onesie for baby Lemieux or whatever. So they're going to continue staying married and what have you. What's your analysis of Alexa and Brennan over these episodes and really over the season?
So I thought, obviously, everybody's interaction in the pods were so cute.
Yeah.
And for Alexa, I think she's got a very strong personality. And I don't think it's a necessarily bad thing.
Yeah.
She just had to find the right person who is fine with her being her own person, very strong opinions and very independent. Like, she would be, would she shed a tear if, like, her heart gets broken? Absolutely. But she's going to bounce right back too, because she's also got a really good support system.
Yeah.
In her friends and her family. So I do like Alexa a lot. One of the things that I think throws me off about their relationship really isn't either one of them. It's actually her dad.
Yes.
They're obviously very close. And I love that for them. But I feel like all the unnecessary jabs at Brennan doesn't really help. And I also think it creates this environment where the family members and maybe even Alexa herself can feel like it's okay to like poke fun at somebody until it takes it. You just can't do it to it. Yeah, you can all say, oh, I'm just joking. Oh, can't you take a joke? It's like, no, sometimes you go too far. Like, just give me a break. We're trying to hang out and just have a chill time. And everything is competitive and everything is like, I'm dominant. It's kind of like, all right, we get it. So that for me was kind of annoying to watch.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm here watching for Brennan and Alexa's relationship. And then like dad's in like every other shot. And I get it. Like it creates a little bit of drama, I guess. But I feel that it's going to be hard for Brennan to, if he ever, I mean, I don't think they're going to change their mind. They're having a baby.
Right.
So, but like, had that not be one of the elements, and he kind of wakes up one day and like really reassesses, he's going to have a real hard time getting out of that relationship.
Yeah.
Because of supposedly there was a prenup and all of this other stuff. Plus, I always do think it's important to meet the family before you marry someone, because you're not just marrying that person, you're marrying their family. So if you don't like them, you got to deal with that for the rest of your relationship.
100% correct. Yeah. So I love Lady Outlaw's family. So
like, yay!
To me, it's a very smooth transition, and my family loves her when she came to visit Virginia. So you're right. 100%. It's real important. It's not necessary.
It's helpful.
Yeah, it's awful. Exactly. It's helpful for sure.
You don't dread the holidays.
Yeah. Especially if you're very connected to your family. Like you said,
right.
Alexa's family seems pretty connected for sure. But I'm going to be a little bit honest here. And I don't know if I might get in trouble for this. But for me, a dangerous relationship in my opinion. And I'll tell you why. Because Alexa very much is the alpha dog of this relationship. And I think that's what her dad was kind of alluding to when he said, I just wish he would take the reins more. I just wish he would. Pushed back saying, well, sometimes he's in charge. We've never seen him be in charge in any scenario, in any of the scenes.
At least not with the cameras on.
Throughout season 3. Right. Exactly. Yeah. She's kind of in control. To me, it feels like she has dismembered him and put it in a box. And that's what it feels like to me. She's controlling him to a degree. And look, he is a willing participant in this relationship.
Yes.
He may want to be with someone who is this strong and guide their relationship and what have you. And I think that's what you're seeing here with Alexa and Brennan. So it's not a relationship I would be comfortable in, but hey, if he's happy and it seems like he is, that's what matters. The problem is that him being sanctimonious and judgmental, using her strength to kind of influence how he's speaking to Cole, how he's speaking to the guys about their relationships, it's like, chill the fuck out, dude. Like, it was a little like, dude, you're crossing lines here that you shouldn't be crossing. Mind your fucking business.
You know, there was another, I think it was season two. There was a couple, and it's the girl in it who it kind of got a little bit more aggressive with the other girls. And she would be like, that's because I'm married. You don't know anything, but I'm married. Do you remember that? I don't know who it was.
Yes, I forget who it was.
But I think it was season 2. And I got so annoyed. And obviously, Brennan is not as aggressive as her.
Right.
Other than coming at Cole unnecessarily. Yeah. But I feel like somehow, specifically to Love is Blind, it's like the married people, minus Colleen and Matt, because they don't really lord over people. But some of the married people have this mentality like, well, I won this competition because I got married. And I was like, yo, it's not a competition. It's a marriage.
Right.
This is life.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it's great that you found somebody, but it doesn't mean the people who didn't get married lost. Like, what is that?
I'm glad you won the first 400 meters of the race, but this is a 26-mile marathon. I don't know what you're celebrating. We got
marriage is work. People, yeah, people think you get married, you put the ring on, and it's like you turn off everything. You have to, you can stop impressing the person. You can let yourself. It's no, keep working. This is why marriage fail. People think, oh, it's easy from now on. No, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, and we saw some interesting things he's going to have to navigate.
Oh, Amber, yes. Thank you, Lauren Else. I'm so sorry. I was looking at the comments.
It was Amber from season one. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. I'm married.
That's right. That's right. But yeah, we saw the kind of interactions they had about finances, right? That she's like, oh, he's better with money. Of course, because she seems like a pampered, privileged person. Her dad made all the money. And so she's been living off the fact that she's never had to pay for anything and has had money gets. That's what I got from that interaction. So, you know, Brennan's going to have to be the one to kind of navigate things. So look, she clearly loves him. Well, it seems like they clearly love each other.
Yes.
But I think if he is to ever push back or want to stand his ground, I wonder what her reaction would be to that, because we have not seen that once in any of the scenes between them. So I wonder if she would be like, oh, you're changing. You're a different person. Because I can't control you anymore. So I don't know. It just feels like Brennan's in one of those situations. And look, I'm speaking to the guys in the audience. We've all seen one of our guys get with someone who controls their life. And we go, why are you in that? But maybe the guy wants to be in that. And you have to kind of create space to be like, you know what? That's what makes him happy. Nothing I can do here. So
yeah, exactly.
Alexa and Brennan.
Exactly. Yeah. If he's happy and he understands, like, you know, the that's the scenario.
Yeah.
Then yay Brennan.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
Exactly. Yeah. To you both. All right, let's take a quick break, Wendy, and we'll get into the final three couples here in the back half of the show right after this. All right, let's jump into a little bit of drama here with Matt and Colleen. What are your thoughts on Matt and Colleen? We're looking at them here, you know, Colleen, holding his face there with Matt. We see their progression of their relationship. They're not living together. They're still married. It's been a year since Love is Blind season 3, and they're still not living together. His excuse was about breaking leases. Her excuse was about breaking leases. They have a dog. There's talk about them getting another dog. He talks casually about them having children, and she's putting the stop to that. Raven gives us an interesting window by saying they fight too much, Matt and Colleen. They're always fighting. They're always at each other. And Matt talks about that, saying that when they fought a lot in the first 6 months of their relationship because they're stubborn, hard-headed people, but now they've kind of are in this kind of honeymoon phase of their relationship. And we do end on them having sweet conversation between each other about like where they're going to live and the kind of house they want to have. But I got to tell you, I'm going to go a little bit first on this one, Wendy. I'm unsettled by this relationship. It feels to me like Matt is an aggressive, how can I say, possessive guy. I mean, the fact that he walks up and goes, hey, what are you guys talking about? What are you doing there? Are you doing something? And he just seems to always be hovering around her. And then when he's got his arm around her and he's like poking her that's my love language, is to fuck with you. It just feels like it isn't the healthiest relationship to be in. And he's been damaged, as he told us, from what happened before. And we only have his word to tell us about what happened in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And we saw his reactions, his really strong reactions during the season. So it almost feels, and remember, Matt wasn't her first choice. I hate that the show.
Was it Cole?
It was Cole. And then it was another, I think it might've been Bartice or somebody else. And then it was at the end, Matt. So the fact that that's never been fully addressed and confronted, especially in the reunion episode when everyone was going after Cole, I thought was such a cop out. And I think, you know, I think they try to protect Colleen, but it's like, you gotta put it on the table, let her react to it. So to me, it feels like Colleen's like, okay, I'm in this relationship with this guy. I really wanted to be married. So I'm going to talk myself into this relationship with this guy, but he was her third choice. And Matt's been insecure about that as well. So I don't know how much I buy their interaction. I just feel like she's accepted the situation, but he feels like one of these guys who's going to get mad if he finds a random text from a male friend or something on her phone, and might even get her passcode or her password to her email.
Oh, dear Lord.
What do you think about this relationship?
I think I was the most uncomfortable watching Matt and Colleen. I was more comfortable watching the conversation go down between Zainab and Cole.
Yeah.
Way more, because
and that's crazy to say.
But it's something we've known, right? It's just drama. It's just drama. We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
But I was kind of almost afraid to watch the Matt and Colleen stuff.
Oh, wow.
Because in the beginning, he was so reactionary.
Right.
And she was so scared of, and I got to imagine all the things going through her mind. Why is he so mad? What did I do wrong? Why does he have to leave right away? And then probably the worst thing back of your head is he going to hurt me?
Right.
That was the, when I watched it, those are the thoughts that come through my mind. Mind you, I have never, ever in any of my relationship have, luckily, there's been no physical abuse. Like, I mean, you know, emotionally, there's a little bit of damage there, but nothing, you know, that was so damaging where I get triggered by certain situations. So I've been very lucky in that. But when I watch, I feel like I'm seeing the signs and I'm like, ooh, Colleen, run, girl.
Yeah.
Not worth it. Not worth it. And because he also had such a hard time talking, it's like he blacked out and became a completely different person. And it's frightening to me.
Yeah.
To watch her in that, and to watch her in the cast reunion, and how she looked so scared.
She looked like a little,
to say anything.
His and that arm worries was like me. Around her.
He
had, you know, moved her to him.
Yeah,
he was in control of her.
Yeah,
and I agree with you. The body language was. I mean, the Lady Outlaw leaned over to me. She goes, "Oh, she needs to get out of that shit." He is totally all over, hovering.
He's not
over
ready.
Her. Yeah,
he's not ready, and it's not the right match. Yeah. I don't think it's the right match. I do feel like there's been a little bit of growth since then. I feel like Colleen seems a little bit. She's able to speak her mind a little bit more. That she feels a little bit more free in doing that. Yeah. At the same time, if you watch her face when she is with him. Like specifically when they're on the couch and they're speaking, sometimes she would get this look in her face like, did I just say the right thing?
Yeah.
Sometimes. You gotta like really watch it, and like, you know what I'm saying? So, but they are two very stubborn people. They're like oil and water. They're not blending.
Yeah.
They're not blending. I don't know if they're going to stay married.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, like, I know the guys were kind of getting on them about on Matt specifically about like, oh, how come you don't live together and da 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 da. So at first, like my initial reaction when I watched that part, I thought, you know what? They don't have like the usual way of meeting each other.
Yes, right.
They met on a show. It was an experiment where you connect via just conversation where looks come second.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it's called Love is Blind. And I feel like, you know, for them to be married or engaged without meeting the person and then throw into this, like, you're going to coexist for a few weeks. We're going to try to make things easy for you. But, like, that's just weird. So at first I was like, well, you know, taking the year to live apart and, like, kind of, like, be married but date and learn about each other may not be such a bad idea. But then I thought about their relationship some more and how they've interacted.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is a couple that really needs to learn how to live together because you can date and be in a relationship and have your own safe spaces to go to, and you can have the greatest relationship. And then once you live together, it's a game changer. I tell you, because there's different little habits and people do that could be like a pet peeve. It could be the tiniest thing. And she's already talked about the pet peeve. You just mentioned it, of him like poking her.
Yeah.
And she said it like, I don't like that. And he does it anyways. I was like, so you don't care.
Right. You don't care about her feelings. You care about your own.
And that bothers me. That bothers me. Like, there was once. Okay. Not many people tell the story. Dustin's going to kill me for saying this on air. So I am super freaking ticklish.
Okay. Okay.
So, and like, you know better. Like if you're able to like get that close to me, you know better. So Dustin used to joke around a lot And I'd be like, no, 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 no. And it was like fun and games and like whatever. Until one day I like, and it was a pure accident. I didn't mean to, but he like did it so suddenly, like on the, in the ribs area. Yeah. And I reacted so, cause I really don't like it. Yeah. I reacted so hard. I threw my elbows back and I clocked him in the face.
Oh shit.
And he had a bloody nose. Nothing broke. And, wow. And it happened around friends and they're all like, oh my gosh. And I was like, I'm sorry. But also like.
You knew.
He's not done it since. He's not done it since because he knows better.
Yeah. You learn those things. You're 100% right. Yeah. I mean, we were.
Also, none of my friends joke around with me about that anymore. Yeah, none me, of them. They were like, oh, okay.
They okay. Learned the lesson.
Virgo came out. That's what happened.
Or Dustin had to serve as the lesson for everybody else. But yeah,
I feel bad. He was like, no, it's okay.
It's cool. But yeah, no, that's the situation when you see with them. And you know, again, I always rely on Lady Outlaw, who's been through her own wars and relationships. She's great. We watch these shows. She's so great at analyzing these things from a woman's point of view, you know, because I only see it from a man's point of view, really. I mean, I can understand it from a human point of view as well, but getting that kind of in-depth. And she felt the same way. She's like, oh, yeah, no, they got to move. If they're fighting and they're not even moving in yet, I mean, they're having these kinds of fights, they're in for a whole rude awakening when they move in together because she said she's always felt like if you keep your place, it's because you need an out and you know you need an out. And when you move in with someone, it's because you fully accepted or you think you fully accepted that you don't need an out anymore and you want to see where this is going and you trust this relationship, you know. And she said, so until they move in together and then even when they move in together, they're going to discover all kinds of stuff about themselves they didn't know in living with each other. And I know Nancy was saying, or not Nancy, sorry, Colleen was saying, oh, I spend every night, we essentially spend every night together. Mm-hmm. Nowhere near the same thing. Having that out is not the same. Like, I'm not in prison if I can go and hang out someplace else. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's the situation. So I think until they move in together, we're not going to know really if Matt and Colleen are going to make it. But there's a lot of warning signs to me of this as being a possessive, aggressive relationship. He is working out his issues from his last relationship on her, and mm-hmm. she is just so desperate to be married that she has kind of shoved down her natural instincts to get out of a situation like this as well. And I don't know if it's helping her social media-wise or professionally or whatever. So there's a lot of those factors that are in this situation as well. So we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable to watch. Agreed. What's gonna happen now? Is he gonna? But he never like really reacted. So I guess that was at least the camera didn't. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, and also when they have the barbecue meet up with his family, we do hear that Matt has to give credit to Matt. Matt has been going to the ballet recitals. Matt has been going. Even to the one she asked him not to go to, which I think is interesting as well, that he showed up at these things. So he is supporting her, but I guess he's going to support her in his way, which is I'm going to go to him. I'm going to go to the mall, whether you like it or not. So still Matt being a little Matt that I think you need to kind of break a little bit. Don't make your ego about her for fuck's sake.
Right.
Work on some shit inside of yourself, bud. You can put it all away. Trust me. Let go of the pain and the hurt from the last relationship and you'll be open for a new one here and take her for who she is, not for who you think she might be representing. It's you gotta be healthy. All right. Anyway, let's move on to our next couple here. Let's move on to the big one, the big reveal. Cause I really want to leave Cole and Zineb for last.
Okay.
So let's deal with SK and Raven here. A lot went down in this episode with SK and Raven. We saw SK and his guy like hanging out at the ring shop. We find out that SK and Raven, we found at the reunion that they were still seeing each other, but now we build up to this moment here with SK and Raven. They're having great conversations with each other. Very loving. She's picking him up from the airport. They're talking about what kind of food they like, wet food versus dry food and spicy food and all this stuff. He is looking at rings for her. They're talking about it. And then he sets up this beautiful proposal and asks if she will marry him. She says yes. She is super happy. They go to that birthday party and they're just doing their thing. They're hanging out with the girls and the boys on those separate nights and whatever. And then at the end, we see Raven there on her phone saying that the relationship has ended and that he has cheated on her. And just to give you guys a little bit of background, and Wendy, I'll get your thoughts on this as well. This all started when a person on TikTok called out, a woman on TikTok called out SK, saying that he had been seeing her on the side and posted DMs and texts with him. And they shut it down initially, and Raven came out and said there were rumors and that they're fine. And then another woman came out on TikTok with who had said she'd been seeing him off and on for 3 years during the whole Love is Blind situation up until I think last year in 2022 or 2021, one of those. And she had text messages and DMs.
They all had receipts.
They all had receipts. And she even said that he said to her, Raven is just a friend. It's not real. I'm getting paid. So that's massive. And that threatens to, of course, break Love is Blind and show you the truth about Love is Blind.
Yeah.
Possibly. So they've come out and said, well, for legal reasons, we can't comment on these things, but we are separating. This is over. We're walking our own path. And just this past Thursday, SK posted a video of herself in another man's closet saying he left me alone in his closet, or in a man's closet. I don't know if it's SK or anybody else's, saying he left me alone in his closet. Uh-oh. So what's your feeling on all of this situation? Because we saw a pretty emotional Raven at the end. Is this all bullshit, or did they really kind of go through all of this? And was she legitimately heartbroken?
So for me, Raven was the least dramatic out of the entire cast, out of the entire cast,
right.
Where she kind of was so comfortable being herself and having her career that she, I think for her saying yes to SK and doing all that stuff to get to the altar was a lot. I think she really put herself in there and really committed to like the experiment and to the show and to the feelings that she had for this guy. And I feel bad that she kind of essentially got her heart broken twice.
Yeah.
You know, he said no to her on the altar, but back then at the time, the reason was because of the traveling back and forth. I was like, you know what? That does kind of suck.
Yeah.
You know, him being in school, it's expensive and you're not there. And like, it does it add more stress to the relationship or does it, you know, make it better? And so I don't think it was necessarily a bad thing for him to say no.
Yeah.
In the first place, it sucks that they had to wait until like they're down the aisle, but like that's how the show works. Right. So this time when they were dating, I was like, okay, cool. They're doing like the slow approach. They're going to date. They're going to be a couple. They're trying to work out the long distance thing. So I enjoyed seeing that. And I enjoy seeing that they actually, you know, got an apartment together and they decorated together and everything.
Right. Yeah.
So I thought that that was like really, I thought that that was really cute.
Yeah.
Until the end where I was like, oh dang, he cheated on her.
Right.
I wasn't aware of like the pose of her being in somebody's closet.
Yeah, that was.
Can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, that just happened. Let me see if I can bring this up here because I know someone posted it. And let me see if I can bring, because I don't think I can show her. Can I show her TikTok if she's?
It's public.
Is it public? So I can probably show it.
It's on a public social media forum.
All right, let me see if I can find it because I want to show you guys because she was posting herself in another person's closet. I can look it up. Is it on TikTok or on her Instagram? Maybe it was. Maybe it was her Instagram. I thought it was her TikTok. But she posted, you know, something about this and showing what she was doing. So it was in one of the reviews, and I can't remember who posted it at the end of their review, but I was looking at it going like, oh, wow, that's an interesting situation that she would show that herself in another man's closet. And she's like holding his clothes and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, so, did she take it down? I don't see it.
Oh, maybe she did take it down. Maybe somebody called her out for it.
Unless it's on TikTok.
I can't seem to find her TikTok account.
I don't think she has one.
Oh, really? So you think it's on her Instagram? Maybe Instagram
Stories? Wait. Here it is. Hold on. We're doing detective work, guys, on the live show. Hang on. It's taking a second. Oh, you know what? I don't think here it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. POV, he left you in his house unsupervised.
Yeah.
I'm watching it.
Okay. I guess, are we allowed to watch it? Is it Raven Elise? No, what's her name? Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Right? Are we allowed to watch it?
I mean, it's definitely not his closet.
Right. Doesn't seem like it's
that's his not his style. The flannels and the shoes. It's not SK.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think. But here's the thing. Is if she coming out of this and she found somebody else that she connected with already? Yeah,
maybe.
And she, you know, it's it may not be a bad thing for her. I'm not saying that it's here. Here's the video.
Here you go. Here we go. There she is. Whose closet? Who's whose closet is she in? So, oh, that's weird. Okay, so there you go. That's her. That's her TikTok. But yeah, whose closet is she in? But yeah, go ahead, Wendy. What were you saying?
No, I just think it's a little bit of she's kind of taking it back, taking the power back. You know, so let's just say he said what he had to say about making the money or whatever. I don't feel necessarily that is the case for her. I could be totally wrong here because we don't know. Right? But let's just say that she isn't. And after all of this, she finds somebody or she rekindles something with somebody who she'd been friends with for a while and just was like, I don't know. But now through all this, she's emotionally grown a lot. She knows what she's looking for.
Yeah.
Or she's just trying to have a good time, which I can't fault her for. Like if she's single, go do it.
Right. Right.
So, but for what it's worth, I think it's really awful that, you know, if the cheating rumor is true.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, she truly believed in their relationship. That sucks because it was two women and that's only two that's come forward. So like, who knows who else? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like, I just don't think she had anything to, I think she was on Instagram already pretty popular prior to the show.
Yes. Right.
Totally. I don't really think she needed it.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? He did, maybe more so.
Maybe, but I mean, he wants to be a doctor. So how much is that really going to help him social media?
Yeah, but like people who had never had fame and gets all of a sudden Instagram or like social media famous, and then you get all the access and your DMs are open and all this and that, it's different.
Yeah.
It's real different for people who haven't experienced that, in my opinion. And Raven has always felt like she's very mature.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for her. Like she's crying at the end of it and she just like she literally said yes to the man. She tried so many times and it's just not working out, and that sucks.
It's so ironic because like it seemed like she was making him jump through all the hoops at the beginning of their relationship. Remember like how he like the kissing, sleeping together took a while before that finally, which is totally cool. Everyone's got their own, you know, time frame to do stuff, regardless of whether producers are pressuring you or the show is pressuring you to have sex with this person. Everyone's got their own, you know, personal timetable to do that kind of stuff. So totally cool. But it seems like ever since she finally gave in to him, he's been disregarding that almost like by dropping her at the altar, then by cheating on her recklessly in this situation. And the last one is the person Hannah Beth Style at Hannah Beth Style on TikTok. She wrote a whole video, did all the text. She said she went to Ibiza and flew back to Madrid. I asked to see the phone, send pics to myself, but ended up seeing messages from a contact named Fiance. She said, then they went to dinner and she confronted him about it. And he said it was for the Love is Blind show, but it was just for dollars and they were friends only. I didn't 100% believe him, but he never gave me a reason to not trust him. So she sent her stuff to Raven on DMs, which is how Raven found out about it. Mm-hmm. And then they issued, Raven and SK issued a statement on Instagram in November of last year of 2022, addressing this and saying that their relationship is over and blah, blah, blah. So she seems to have moved on just fine. I mean, of course, social media.
I think so.
She's probably moved on from this.
It could have been just a friend's closet, honestly. Yeah,
fair point. Fair point. So,
you know,
So very interesting situation between them.
I want to read a comment from the chat.
Yeah.
This is Travis Earl, but I think it's his wife who's commenting. I feel like Raven's friends really had SK pegged from the beginning. They were not feeling him at all, but he totally fooled me. I was surprised he cheated. I honestly was too.
Yeah.
Really fooled me. But the friends were on point.
Well, his whole family was shocked when he left her at the altar. Like, his mom was pissed because she was why did we go through this nonsense? Why did you make me bring her into the Nigerian culture and have her wearing the clothes, have her getting fitted for this, if you weren't going to say yes? And it seemed like remember, she's the one that went up there and talked to Raven to check in on her to make sure she was okay. That's an incredible move by a mom of the fiance to do that. So I thought that spoke volumes. She probably knows she's got a little bit of an asshole for a child. And so she knows she's got to, you know, she gets it. She's a woman. She's dealt with asshole men, I'm sure, in her life. Right. So she probably feels terrible that she's raised a bit of an asshole in SK. Mm-hmm. And SK seems to have that kind of energy where, you know, he's going to do what he wants to do and he gets away with it. This quiet voice of his and whatever. And so, yeah, you're probably right. Her friends had him pegged. And they probably didn't react in a positive way when she said they were getting married again and he asked her again.
Yep.
I didn't see, I don't think they put a video of the friends reacting at all to the news in a positive way. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're right. Maybe they did sense that. Of course, as a woman, you would know. Women know immediately. Intuition. By body language, sound of the tone. Right, Wendy?
Mm-hmm. Red flags. So true. Especially if you've, you know, date a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you really know what to look for. And it's also easier to kind of see from the outside in.
Yeah.
When you're in the relationship and you're happy and it's new and it's exciting and you're kind of looking at everything through like rose color lenses.
Oh, totally. Right.
But you know, when you're friends and you know who she is and you're a little protective of her, you're kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can only imagine the camera on some of my relationships. Good God. right, let's move on to our last one. And this, of course, that was the drama there, but let's move on to the drama that was started initially in season 3 here between Cole and Zeynep and their interactions. Zeynep was never Cole's first choice. And that was certainly clear when him and Colleen had that interaction by the pool. And Colleen, by the way she rewrote the narrative of what actually happened there between them is beyond hilarious. She's lying about what happened. She very much entertained his interest in her, and she was still kind of needing that stroke. And it was so obvious. So, you know, this whole drama that was created that, you know, he misstepped and said all these kind of things and, you know, leading to Matt getting upset about it. It just seemed so wrong. But I thought, okay, you know, they seem like they're getting along. They seem like they have this connection. And then she absolutely eviscerated him on the altar when she said she wasn't going to marry him. And then she flat out, in my opinion, lied about everything that happened in that interaction in the kitchen. They show the ending with him having the interaction with her in the kitchen, and it's so clear, and a lot of people on social media felt this as well, that she was lying through her teeth about the stuff that happened, and she was playing victim for the attention on the show and turning Cole into this aggressive, abusive person that he's not. That being said, Cole is an idiot. Absolutely an idiot. A simple-minded guy. I mean, he was literally hitting on Alexa's stepmom.
Awkward. I was like, walk away, man. Stop talking and walk away. The look on her face.
Look, Bartice didn't do much right in this season, but him grabbing Cole and moving him away from Alexa's stepmom was the smart move. Maybe the best thing he
because
did.
Because dad was going to come in.
Oh, shit. Yes. Oh, Wendy, I was waiting for her dad to come in and be like, bop, and knock Cole out.
I was like, I get the shock and maybe compliment her like, oh my gosh, you look great. And just like, he just kept going. I was like, put the drink down, walk away and stop talking. Just stop talking.
Yeah. I think Cole is a simple-minded fool. I really do. He just speaks what he feels in the moment. He doesn't think about other people's reactions to these things and he gets in the situations. But I do feel he was hard done by Zeynep and them, all those girls dragging him, led by Alexa, which really, I have all kinds of feelings about that. Led by Alexa, there sitting in the girls' lunch when they were all hanging out, eviscerating him all over again. That was really uncomfortable, and they were twisting the narratives. And Zeynep played into it, and her playing herself the victim. You know, oh, I've got to see him again. Oh, how dangerous is it going to be for me? when in fact she probably was relishing it. And here's the thing. She said she went to therapy, or she's been going to therapy as a new man in her life. But the therapy, but she's also said, I stand by everything I said. And it's like, well, what is your therapist really telling you if you're not going to confront some of the lies that you told about this situation? And then at the end, when they have their interaction between each other, you know, she makes the whole dreading of it, sits down with him. And I'm telling you this right now. Here's my honest feeling. I think she still had feelings for him in that moment, feelings for him. I mean, the fact that she wanted to dress up in the best dress and get her hair done and kind of so Cole would realize what he left behind or whatever, or what he messed up. It just seemed odd to me for someone you say you don't care about and don't have any and won't have any interactions with. It seems like you cared a lot about how you looked for a guy you supposedly don't care about. So there was a, she is a trek, like she is, a, I think, a therapist's wet dream. There is so much to untangle there. That would be years and years of therapy to untangle the things wrong with Zeynep. Am I off base? Am I in the wrong ballpark? What do you think?
I will touch on the dressing up part. I don't think it's like, oh, because I still have feelings. I think no matter what, you always want to look 110% your best in front of an ex. Regardless of like that's just who left. Yeah. Or like, you know, because Zeynep isn't the type that's like, she wants to come off as like, I'm unbothered.
Yeah.
But she is bothered.
Yeah, she is. The insecurity with her is like Grand Canyon levels deep. Yeah.
That's okay. I'm super insecure.
Sure. Yes.
I totally get it. Like socially, I feel like I'm very awkward.
Right.
So like when I'm interacting with people and I'm like, Wendy, you're such a fucking idiot. You know, like I'm just like, why am I talking? trying to make conversation. I'm like,
oh, door, man.
So walk away. Just walk away. But I don't fault her for wanting to look nice. And it's also going to be televised.
Yeah.
So absolutely, she needs to look 100%, you know, her. I can get why she wants to look 100% her best. And she looked great. I thought she looked great. I think the color of the dress and the dress is very pretty. What's weird to me was like, is she kind of pendulums back and forth.
Yeah.
Like I've been working on it. I'm coming to terms with it. Oh, I'm dreading it. No. I'm going to be okay. I'm prepared. And then like, when she is like with the girls at the party and she was fine. And then he shows up and she's like, oh, and I was like, it just felt a little more put on than what I expected.
Yeah.
And of course, when there's like tea and drama, people are like, ooh, what is this? And it makes good television. So who knows if it's how much, if it's like the producer saying, like, put it on and you get more camera time.
Right.
Good point. I think there's been a little bit of growth with Zeynep. I think the therapy, I feel like I can see it.
Okay.
But the thing about therapy, and you know this.
Yes.
You've gone through therapy. I've gone through therapy. Yeah. I still am going to therapy. Is that it's not easy to confront your feelings because when you do, you feel like the biggest loser.
Yeah.
You feel just awful and like, why am I here? Who am I? And just all these terrible things, but you have to confront them in order to grow. It's not the easiest thing. And sometimes that makes people not want to continue to going to therapy. So who knows how many, like what her schedule is like. Cause like mine is, it's supposed to be weekly, but there's been times that I skip because of work and whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And that slows down the process because then you, all the work that you put in, it goes back to like, now you have to start from the beginning again.
Right.
So I think the most frustrating thing is 100% of a, he said, she said.
Yeah.
I don't want to doubt that she's felt hurt by Cole's words.
All right, fair point. You don't want to dismiss her feelings. Correct. That's fair. Absolutely.
But I also feel like he truly did not say some of those things, but she heard what she wanted to hear and it got blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
You know, so, but granted, I will say this. When I first started watching the show and I was watching Cole, I really didn't like him.
Yeah, a lot of
people really didn't like him. I was like, well, who is this? Like, what is his issue? And then so, you know, defensively, I feel like she kind of got into like, well, I got to protect myself because like I'm interested in this man and he chose me and I want to try it out because he's cute.
Right.
And we had this connection from the pods, but then he's saying all those things to me and I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about that. Right. So it's like they don't mix at all. If we thought Colleen and Matt didn't mix, these two mix less.
Yeah.
Way less. I think they, from this point on, should not interact. Delete each other's numbers to block each other on social media.
100%.
Like, stop using each other as some sort of gain for social media to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get eventually tired, right? Yeah. And the true colors always come out. The show is still pretty new, you know, with these new episodes. But, people have friends and TikTok and social media is very widely used. Somebody's going to catch somebody slipping up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And talking the actual truth about something.
Yeah.
So, till this day, I'm still really not a big fan of Cole.
Right.
But I do feel bad that he seems to be getting ganged up on. And he's just trying to understand, what did I do wrong? And I feel like they need somebody who is a little bit more on the same wavelength.
Yeah,
maybe like Batiste sitting down with him being like, hey, man, like, you get me? Somebody who's been through the process and is a little, can speak Cole's language. Because having Brennan come at him, they're different age, they're different approach to life.
Yeah.
It's too like, I'm coming down on you, I'm lording over you. And Cole's like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
You know, and then on top of that, Brennan's really tall.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really intimidating. And I feel like he needs to have a sit down with one of the buddies, probably like, again, like Batiste.
Yeah.
To be like, hey. But again, we don't know. Like,
I think he could have sat down with any of the other guys from the other two seasons.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think any of the guys from this season are going to help him or guide him like they could. You know what I'm saying? I don't think, because I think Bartiz has got his own set of issues to untangle as well. So right. I think all those guys this season, like Matt would be like, oh, you got to do this. Or, you know, Matt SK
and,
would be like.
And Cole went on a trip together. Did they not?
Did Bartiz and Cole go on a trip together? I didn't know.
It wasn't Bartiz. It was Cole and Matt.
Oh, Cole and Matt.
It was after the reunion.
What?
And it was on, It was on one of their Instagrams. I think
Get
it was on
here.
Matt or Cole. So I swear to you.
Oh, that's a bad
Wait, hold
idea.
On. I want to make sure I'm not wrong.
Cole, that's a bad idea, man.
What's Matt's handle?
Oh, I don't even know.
Let me find it.
Okay, hold on. Let me see.
Love, hold on. I'm
Usually
gonna
it's look. On the front page of Love is Blind, the Instagram, because they've got the accounts. By the way, Wendy and I thought this was going to be a 30 to 40 minute show, but we're already past the hour mark.
We should have known.
We love the drama.
We should have known. Okay, where
Matt
is
Matt Bolton? Matt underscore Bolton 24. That's what his is. I don't
okay,
see
okay, okay.
pictures.
It's a Reels or I hope it wasn't a story because I won't be able to find it.
I don't like Colleen wearing a Cowboys jersey and an Eagles jersey. Ugh.
It's not here. Dang it. I think it was a story.
Okay. It was an Insta story. Okay.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. I'm going to look at his tagged. You always want to look at people's tags because that's where you find things.
Yeah. And shout out to Cole, who has 560,000 followers on Instagram now. So, and he, to his credit, he did say that he is enjoying single life. He hasn't found that one person just yet, but he says he wants to move to San Diego.
Yeah,
so this is an open invitation, Cole. If you're in San Diego, if you move to San Diego, I would love to have you as a guest on the Outlaw Nation channel. Talk about Love is Blind season 3 with me and Wendy. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yes. Okay. I think it was a story because I'm not seeing it here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't see anything on Cole's Instagram either. But I see him as a guest on a podcast, so maybe I should reach out to Cole and see what the deal is, and maybe he'll come on the show because it'd be a lot of fun to talk
to. He's with somebody.
You think so?
Look at his tag. Look at Cole's photos, tagged. I'm telling you, you got to go to the tags. You got to go to the tags.
Oh,
so,
I see. Yeah.
Yeah, he is snorkeling with somebody in Hawaii, and they look. Oh my God, these photos are so cute.
Well, there you go. Yeah, all right. I guess he's having a good time.
The account is, I don't even know if.
Oh, no, he was hanging out with Bartiz.
Oh, no.
At Christmas. Christmas party.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because they're young, they're two younger dudes.
Oh.
Right? So I think...
all right.
I think that's why they could be on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love this comment from one of the commenters for Cole and his Christmas pictures. Nadia B. Morris. She says, ugh, here for Cole because I'm a mom of boys and I support you, but I hate seeing Bartice in your pictures because I'm also a mom of a girl and would hate for her to even know someone like him. Yeah, I think Bartice got away with murder in this season because he's the one that should be ganging up on, not poor Cole. I mean, Bartice was, yeah, so it's crazy. But anyway.
Cole doesn't know how to defend himself, so yeah, that's what makes him an easier target.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you, okay, there's photos that I sent.
Okay.
Let's in our private chat and that's like I don't know who that is,
okay,
but like if that's his like new person, happy for you.
Yeah, here we go. Isn't that his? I don't think that's her.
Who's Zineb?
I
don't think it's Zineb at all.
It's two couples, right? Or is that her? I see
yeah, I think that's him. Looks like him. It's tagged as him. So
yeah.
You know.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's definitely the same shorts holding the girl. So that's him.
Wow. Oh, good point. Yeah. All right.
And you know what? That's smart because I just looked at her. She is moving to San Diego.
Oh shit! There you go.
And her account is private. Smart girl. I wouldn't be public either.
Smart, yeah.
Yep.
Smart. You don't want to get in the middle of this drama, for sure.
No.
I think we had a Streamlab come through.
Amblin so says 1 hour of Instagrams talking later.
this is the content you love. let me see. We got one. Okay, we got one from Hoth Security Guard. He said, "Hey, you two, late on this, but have you two heard anything good coming out of Sundance? Looking forward to John Carney's Floor and Son with JGL. Love his film, Sing Street, then went backwards and caught up with Begin Again at Once." Well, this is not the show for that, but I will say this. Jeff Snyder did see John Carney's Floor and Son and said it's incredible. So, yes, I will say that that's one you should definitely look for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up there. Wendy, anything more to say on this After the Altar episodes? What's your final thoughts as you walk away from season 3? About this whole show and these couples.
This is probably the messiest season, and I say this after witnessing the craziness that is season 1.
Yeah, season 1.
Okay, season 1 was insane. It was insane. But I feel like for some reason those season 1 and season 2's groups seems more tight knit.
Yes, right.
This one doesn't really quite feel like it, with the exception of the girls. I think the girls are a little bit more tight knit than the men.
Right.
But I hope at the end of the day, through this experiment, they can all realize their faults and their strength, and that they know what they're looking for, and that they can acknowledge those things. It's important to say that. Right. And they feel like they can be a better person coming out of the show moving forward. Mm-hmm. As they look forward to other relationships. But I don't want to see in the headlines that Nancy and Bartice are trying to get back at it. I don't even want to see her back on another show.
Yeah.
Just because I think she's too good for it.
Right. Right.
I think Nancy's too good for it. I think Raven's too good for it. Yeah. I worry a little about Colleen and Matt. So we'll see where they go.
Yeah,
I don't usually get uncomfortable watching reality TV.
Yeah,
couples. Yeah. I really don't. But I just feel like what I think I figured it out. I think I figured out as I was watching.
Yeah,
I was waiting for his reactionary like outbursts.
Right.
That's what I was uncomfortable about seeing.
Yeah,
I don't like seeing that. And seeing that in the initial episodes made me feel very scared for Colleen.
Yeah.
So, but if they can find a way to work it out, may that be living separately for a little bit longer, so be it. But eventually they got to face the music and live together.
Yeah.
You have to.
Of course. Yeah.
And Brennan and Alexa, they're going to be them. They're not going to divorce. They're going to have the baby and they're going to live out the rest of their lives being in that relationship. If they're happy, that's awesome.
Right.
With Zeynep and Cole, man, I don't know, man. I really feel like those two need to block each other, like, completely. Block Cole at this point needs to walk away from every single person from the show.
Yeah. Okay.
I think. Fair enough. Every single one of them. I don't think any of them are interested in being his friends.
Wow. Okay. That's a strong statement. All right.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say overall, just to end the show. Overall, I don't believe for a second that Nick and Vanessa Lachey care about love at all. I think what they care about is the drama. And that's what we're seeing on these shows. And the fact that they keep using Love is Blind to launch the next thing. Like, they they had that show that they launched through the end of second season and nobody watched that show. And now they're doing another one called Perfect Match.
What was the other show?
Oh, yeah. It was the other show where they're like, they put them on a timetable. Like, you've got to accept the wedding. You've got to accept
the ultimatum?
Right, the ultimatum. Yeah,
we watched that.
You watched it, right? I only watched halfway through, and I couldn't do it anymore.
Oh, so boy. I think you should have watched it.
We'll see what happens in this new one, if anybody watches this new one, Perfect Match. Because it feels a lot of like what you were describing in that Korean show. Like, they're bringing people together, and then you decide who you're going to hook up with and who you're not going to hook up with and where you go. So, I don't know. We shall see. But I just don't believe. And by the way, they were totally missing from all three of these episodes. So how can you call them hosts of the show when they show up maybe for 10% of the show? It's weird on so many levels. I get their executive producers count your money, but
yeah,
I don't know if this is accomplishing the idea of showing love and that love is possible in these kinds of situations. I think the couple from the first season who's still married and they've written a book about successful marriage, that's awesome. Like, more power to them. But I don't know if necessarily this experiment is 100% working. That being said, I'm going to be watching as soon as season 4 drops to see maybe they've learned some lessons from all of this. We shall see. And I do wish all these people the best, either separately or together. I wish them the best. And I hope they get some good therapy and they learn some life lessons. Because Lord knows, if someone had a camera on me in my relationships in my 20s, I think you could do a whole show breaking me down in the situations that I was in and the stupid shit I did and stupid shit that was done to me. So that's what the 20s are for, learning about how to be healthy and what you want. So, you know, create some space for these guys as well and wish them the best.
Absolutely. All right, listen, before we go, I just want to take a look at the cast of The Perfect Match. I will be watching the show because Chloe is in it. Chloe is from Too Hot to Handle, and then she was on The Circle. I love Chloe. She is so much fun to watch. She wasn't really in the preview at all, just like Bartiz. Okay. So I hope she lasts in the show like a little bit longer, just because she's so, like, she's very unapologetically her, and she's like very happy and bubbly and just like the funniest person. Like, you would love. I don't know if you've watched Too Hot to Handle, but she is a lot of fun to watch.
Chloe Veach, is that correct?
Yeah.
That okay.
Yeah, I think she's from Essex.
Oh, okay. She's British.
Yeah, she's so much fun to watch. I'm watching for her, and I'm watching for Joey, also from The Circle, because I enjoyed watching him on The Circle. And I must stay to see what kind of craziness Damien is going to bring to the show. Because, you know, Damien, that's from Love is Blind.
Right. Damien Powers. Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's some other people that I really don't, I don't really know some of the other people, but.
Wasn't Zay in something? Oh, I don't know what Zay was.
Zay was in The Ultimatum.
He's in The Ultimatum. That's right.
You got to finish. Just do it.
Oh.
What episode did you get to? Do you remember?
Fifth episode. I think this is the fifth episode.
Oh, that's pretty close to the end.
I know. All right, fine. I'll finish it. God damn it. I'll finish it. Anyway, all right, let's get on out of here. Thank you all so much for joining us for this extended spoiler review episode of the three episodes of Love is Blind Season 3, After the Altar. We appreciate it madly. Please make sure you hit a like on this video, subscribe to the channel as well, and hit that bell button so you see we're dropping all the fun content and out of nowhere content like this that we put on the channel that is entertainment related. And another fun show with you, Wendy Lee. Please let people know where they can find you.
Thank you so much. This was fun. I needed this. You can find me on YouTube under The Movie Couple, where we do reactions, movie reviews, TV after shows and more. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at the same handle, Wendy Lee Zaney, TikTok, Wendy Zaney, and some of my articles on Movie Phone because I'm writing for them now. Yay!
That's awesome. So awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, Wendy, always onwards and upwards with you, which we appreciate. As for me, you can always find me at The Roka Says on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, The Outlaw Nation on Twitch, and well, in the My Other Podcast, The Geek Buddies, The Cinephiles, The Top 10, which is wrapping up at the end of February. We are ending the show with a live show on February 27th at 6 p.m. PT. So, you know, hang out for all of that. And of course, all the other stuff I do all around the internet. So thank you all so much for joining us. You're the best. And we'll talk to you next time with another brand new review or show here from the John and Wendy Show. Peace.